Well, peace of the Lord be with you. Welcome to the first Friday of a new year. Happy Friday, everyone. Welcome. We got through it, all the orientation. It's the first Friday of the first week, and we recognize that there's a lot of people here who are new. Freshmen and transfers, new faculty, new staff, and you probably don't know really who we are. We're these kind of like characters up here. So we kind of wanted to reintroduce ourselves to you today and give you a little peek into our life, just a little bit. We want to do that by showing some of our family history. But first, my name is Trig. That's me.
You come from a family,
Trig. I come from a family. I have a family, and I'd like to show you some of my family. This is me when I'm like, I'm pretty excited. You could see that even back then, I was wearing the tie, looking good. That's a little trick. This is my dad, Dave, my mom, Arlene. This is my older sister, Jill, and my little sister, Christina. And in the next slide, we see that I grew up in the Pacific Northwest, and we're cooking some salmon outside. Again, that's my little sister, Christina.
Happy, Trey.
Yeah, I was a pretty happy kid. I like to eat the salmon.
Where are you looking?
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just basking in the light. And this is my father, Dave, who's cooking up a storm, makes the best salmon in the world. As I look at him, I realize I look a lot like my dad.
You do.
Which I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but probably is. Yes.
Trigger, thanks. My name is Paul Boersma. I am, yes. Come on, give me some of that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Look at those pants.
My name, Paul Boersma. I'm one of the chaplains here. This is my family. This is me. Yeah, come on. Red shirt, white tie, yellow suco, and look at those pants. Come on. Get on it.
Nice.
Styles were bad in the 70s. All right. This is my sister, Betsy, who's 4 years older. My brother, Bill, 6 years older. This is my mom, Connie. And my dad, Max, sporting the World War II haircut. Looking good. All right. I got a couple other pictures. Hey, this was a younger time. This is little Paulie. Yeah. I got the hands in the pocket, feeling good. Nice.
But the next one's my favorite.
Hang on, it's not over yet. Just a minute. This is Bill. He's got his Sunday school pin on. Nice. And Betsy's got the nice stockings and everything. We got the hush puppy shoes. We were ahead of our time. But I got one more picture to show you. This is, Christmas Day at our house. I was really excited. We buttoned our shirts up to the top at that time. Yeah. So I was a happy boy for Christmas. So that's the Boersma family.
And I'm Kate Davilar. And, Let's see.
Which one are you, Kate?
I know. It's hard to tell. What's interesting about this, in case you were wondering, this is me. And I'm not the oldest child either. I'm actually the middle. This is my older brother, Joe. I know. And this is my younger sister, Sarah. You know what's interesting? Someone saw this picture and was like, "Come, junior high days are rough." This is pre-junior high for me. My awkward years started early, extended. Since it's post-perm, I think it is actually probably between fifth and sixth grade. But this was cool. This, the way you wore the bag over like that.
With the Mickey Mouse shirt.
We were in Disney World, I think. So that's those are my siblings. And the next slide is the whole family. We got my father, Tom, here, sporting this mustache. Mother, Kathy. Older brother, Joe. Me, starting to figure some things out.
New hairdo.
Longer hair. This is probably sophomore, junior year of high school. younger sister passed my glasses on to her. Not really, but that's kind of what it looked like.
Yeah.
So that's those are the dabblers right there.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, it's fun. I think we all had a good time looking at our pictures of our families, and it definitely evokes memories and stories. That's what pictures do. I think looking back at pictures, too, especially of your family, shows you how some things change. Thankfully, some things changed from those pictures for me. Contacts were huge. but also looking at my family pictures now reminds me that my family looks really different than it did. And part of that is because we've gotten older and some of us have gotten married. But a lot of that is also because my parents went through a divorce. And that has forever shaped and shifted and complicated and will forever continue to complicate just some things about my family. And so that's something about my family that has definitely changed to become more complicated.
And within my family, too, we've experienced a change. 7 years ago, my dad passed away of a massive heart attack. And that loss of kind of the patriarch of the family who had a significant influence on my life, but also my kids' life, and also on my mom's life, 54 years of marriage. And so that loss has made things more of a challenge and has caused some complications in our family as well, too.
And in my family, you know, loss comes in lots of different kinds of forms. And one of the losses I've had is just access, relationship. My parents still live on the West Coast. My little sister, Christina, lives on the East Coast. I'm not near my family. I haven't been near them, lived near them for 17 years. Which is just a change. And I look back up on these pictures, and we're all little people, and we're all together as a tight nuclear family. And now all of a sudden, we're kind of spread out. And what does family mean when you don't have easy access to them? I mean, you have Skype, and you have phone calls and email and all of that. But you and I both know, right, that there's a difference between sitting down face-to-face with somebody than just using virtual technologies. Hmm. And, you know, some of you might feel really distant as you move into college and you're away from families, and that changes things. It's not as, I'm not judging it good or bad, it's just it changes the dynamic. The way things were aren't always the way things are going to be.
And that's true. You know, I'm thinking too, as we looked at those pictures, each of those folks had names, David and Joe and Tom and Jill,
Arlene
and Max and Connie. Each of our family members had names. And it reminds us, and it reminds me, that in the book of Genesis, as we begin to explore kind of God's family story, that there's names of people in there. There's people like Enoch and Rachel and Sarah, Abraham, Tamar, all kinds of different names, real live people, just like our family, who had complicated issues going on as well, too.
Definitely. I mean, whenever you have real live people, people in relationship with one another, it gets complicated. And in Genesis, we find stories of complications due to loss, due to rape, due to deceit. And we find sibling rivalry. We find remarriages and loss of economic stability. All these stories are in the lives of these people, these named people.
Right. It's true. Genesis is a story about the complications of real life, real people trying to figure out all of this messiness. Yet ultimately, the story of Genesis is ultimately a story about God. It's about God entering into the real-life complications of the people he created, the people that he loved. Our story, each one of our individual stories, has a beginning. And it begins with this story, and it's the same beginning you have. And our scriptures open up with these words. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered over the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. And then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. The light he called day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. What's interesting about this story for me is that it begins where we all need to begin, beginning this year, beginning our lives, beginning our families, in the beginning when God. God is the beginning of all things. And it is our hope this year that as we enter into Genesis and enter into all of the complications and the beauty and the mystery of life, this same God that is referenced here will meet us in the soil of hope. It will meet us here in this chapel or the dorm or the classroom or wherever you find yourself, because it's our conviction that this God is still showing up. This God is still entering into all of the complications that we have in life. And so we want to invite you, each and every one of you, bring a friend, bring a posse, bring a whole dorm or to the gathering this Sunday night at 8 o'clock, where we're going to begin entering into the large family story. And it is our prayer and our hope that as we do that, God will meet you. God will speak to you. And in that hope, I want to send us into this weekend in prayer together. Would you join with me? God of the beginning, you know each one of us and our families, our family histories, wherever they're at, however complicated they are. A lot of us are in transition right now, and we pray, God, that you would show up, you would enter and frame our complications by your love, and that in you we would rediscover who we truly are, made in your image, redeemed by our Lord Jesus Christ, recreated by the power of your word. So, Lord, as we enter into this weekend, we want to say no to sin and all that's false and ugly, and we want to say yes to you, God, that said yes to us. We pray this in Christ's name, and all of hope said, amen. Go into the weekend. Go in peace.